This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me is P.J. Hrabowski, music director for KUAF, host of Film Score Friday every Friday morning from 10 until noon on KUAF. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle.
And we spend a few minutes every Thursday talking about a piece or two that you're going to play tomorrow on Film Score Friday. And you have selected a piece from, I think, my favorite film score composer?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's one of mine as well.
Bernard Herrmann.
Right. I guess if we knew him personally, maybe we wouldn't like him quite as well. He pulled no punches. I think his good friends who called him Benny, they might say, "Yeah, it's just Benny." But people who didn't know him that well, they might be turned off by him. And I think his attitude, I read that there's something happened to him as a child. He had some kind of weird seizure that affected his brain, and it made him kind of mean after that. But I've read that the man who wrote so many incredible film scores and only won one Oscar for his second film score, which was the Devil and Daniel Webster, actually, they think, didn't win a lot of them because of his attitude.
So he had alienated enough of the voters that they said, no way.
Yeah, and what a shame, because he's more popular now than he was back then. Hmm. So, you know, I don't know why, but maybe because people now don't know him.
Gosh, we could go on and on about all the famous scores. Cape Fear, right? I love the music from Cape Fear.
Citizen Kane, which was his first score.
Wow.
The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Taxi Driver, which was his last. Jane Eyre, he did 8 Hitchcock movies. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And he won one Academy Award.
And that was early in his career.
Yeah, I think it was like 1941.
One of the 8 Hitchcock movies he did score is North by Northwest.
I don't know about how you feel about it, Kyle, but that's one of my favorite movies, Hitchcock movies. Well, Bernard Herrmann, he was born in 1911, so he was 30 years old when he won that Academy Award. Born in New York City to an upper-middle-class Jewish family. Like I said, his friends called him Benny. He was actually born as Max, but his dad goes, I don't think I like Max. We'll go with Bernard. So they just call him Max when they wanted to give him a hard time. He loved the music of Charles Ives by the time he was a teenager, and he also became involved in Aaron Copland's Young Composers Group. Well, then he became a staff arranger and conductor at CBS in the 1940s and 50s, and it was at CBS where he came into contact with Orson Welles. Well, Welles took him to Hollywood in 1939, which would have made him, 28 years old, and together they made Citizen Kane, which permanently linked him to a composer of film music. Unlike most Hollywood composers, Herrmann orchestrated all of his own music, writing out full scores by hand. Now, most composers would write out a short score on 2 or 3 staves and have an orchestrator copy it onto the final score. And when Herrmann finished this score, it was 140 pages long.
And that's long?
Yeah, and in 51 days.
Oh, my.
And
he never slept.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's what made him so grouchy. Herrmann and Hitchcock had a very smooth working relationship, and Hitch let Herrmann do his own work, and every once in a while would question a certain sequence. Now, this is an example of that. Going back to Psycho, funny question. Remember the shower scene?
I'm familiar, yes.
Well, okay. Well, Alfred Hitchcock said, "I don't want any music here. I don't want anything. I just want the shower scene with the stabbing sequence, nothing. Just, just what's going on." And now Herrmann, who's normally a guy who doesn't like to use music in a big segment, went, "But how about this?" You know, and it was just that, Alfred Hitchcock goes, "You know, that works." Now, while some critics have remarked on Herrmann's use of South American rhythms in North by Northwest, because it takes place in North America, now Herrmann had his reasons. He referred to Cary Grant's particular stair-like agility as an inspiration for his use of the Spanish dance called the Fandango, which was used throughout the score, which is a very animated score, of course, which was typified by the overture, the first part. Because it's a story of a chase, and the score is preoccupied with these driving, dancing rhythms. Now, it was originally recorded in stereo, but the movie was released in mono, so we didn't get a chance to experience the score in stereo until this Rhino release that came out, and it came out something like, what, 50 years later or something? Hmm. Now, the movie begins with these driving rhythms from the overture. Originally, MGM wanted a Gershwin-like piece, you know, something similar to Rhapsody in Blue to kind of capture Hitchcock's hustle-bustle opening of Rush Hour in New York City. Well, that didn't happen, and Herman described his opening as a kaleidoscopic orchestral fandango designed to kick off the exciting route which follows, a crazy dance that's about to take place between Cary Grant and the world. Now, the most noticeable structural differences between Herman's scores and those of his contemporaries is his placement of music, especially with Hitchcock films, because he tends to avoid scoring scenes that are heavily emotional or full of dialogue or full of action. And he feels those scenes work better on their own, with the exception of the shower scene in Psycho.
Right.
Okay. Now, in classical Hollywood scoring, most of the emotional scenes were scored, even if there was this intense dialogue.
Sure. The music builds and swells.
Exactly. Right. They used it to underscore that emotional content of the scene. Sometimes it was very important to even keep the movie going. Well, okay. So let's talk about one of the most memorable scenes in the movie. What would you consider the most memorable scene, Kyle?
It's when Cary Grant is in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, waiting to meet somebody, and kind of starts looking. Someone says, you know, why is that crop duster? Why is there no crops? Why is he flying?
Right. I mean, you just see dirt.
Yeah.
And now most composers would have used this opportunity for their best compositional skills.
You bet.
But not Bernard Herrmann. Nothing musical happens until the end of the scene when the crop duster crashes.
Get out of here! The other tank may blow!
It's a 2-hour film, and there's well under an hour of music in this movie, Kyle. And that's not much for a suspense film. Now, North by Northwest also had an orchestra of 64 players, which is fairly large for a film score of that period. He's also, if you think of Herman, he did write a lot of classical music as well, and he's been compared to Igor Stravinsky, Gustav Holst, and even Béla Bartók.
Hmm. Fair to say that if you haven't seen North by Northwest, you haven't lived yet a complete life?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. Now, it's not just North by Northwest tomorrow.
No, we also have some newer movies. Now, The Interpreter, mm-hmm. Fracture.
Right.
Okay, The Last Legion, which is a movie that tells you what happened with Excalibur before the Knights of the Round Table. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Steve Martin.
Oh, what a funny movie. Girl with a Pearl Earring. Mm-hmm. There Will Be Blood by Johnny Greenwood, and you know who he is?
He's in a band.
Right, and the band is?
Radiohead.
Exactly. And then the last score is a Hans Zimmer film, which is out right now, Inception.
Film Score Friday tomorrow from 10 until noon. And you'll be back next Thursday?
Exactly.
BJ Hrabowski, thanks very much.
Thanks, Kyle.